Anyway, yeah, just thinking about what I'm going to be speaking on today before Christmas, at the end of last year, we start doing that thing, don't we, where we're thinking, right, God, what have you got for me for this year? What's it going to look and feel like? Have you got a word for me? Have you got a scripture for me that is going to be the focus of my attention for the coming year? And as I was doing that, God really spoke to me through a scripture. And it's in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. And I think this one's from the Message, probably is, because that's my usual translation. And it says, check out everything and keep only what's good. Throw out anything that is tainted with evil. And it kind of got me thinking about what good looks and feels like. So the title of today is What Good Looks Like. And I just really feel that this is something that's grabbed my attention. It's something I need to focus on. And that's about seeing good and goodness in all areas of life. And it just, again, it made me start thinking about the way that we use this word good. And I used it on the way in, and I do this a lot, and I need to kind of train myself not to do it. And I put it in emails, and I put it on things. So when people ask me how I am, I go, oh, all good. I said it to Lou on the way in. Actually, how are you doing? And I just go, all good. And I throw it out there as a, that kind of settles that, doesn't it? It's a bit like I'm fine, isn't it, when this. But we do that, don't we? And it is a really, really funny word. And sometimes I think it almost doesn't sort of cut it, does it? Good. And that made me think, for all you teachers out there, about Ofsted ratings, as I do from time to time. And grade one is outstanding. Grade two is good. Grade three requires improvement. And grade four is inadequate. And it's interesting, isn't it, that good is kind of number two on the list. It's not the best. So I thought that was interesting. Although the definition of good talks about being desired of, approved of. It talks about having the required qualities. It talks about things being of a high standard. And then we do this really funny thing at work at the end of each calendar year, and I don't really like it, if I'm honest. It's they call it a festival of thanks. And not this year, the year before, we had this opportunity to write notes to individuals, thanking them for their things and telling them, well done, you've done a good job, and all the rest of it. And that worked quite well. But it all got a bit competitive. Actually, I got a bit competitive with it, because I am. I was like, how many have you had, right? And not a big long list like this. And then this year, they did it slightly differently, and it really didn't work for the way that I like to be told I'm doing a good job. And I do like that kind of words of affirmation thing. It's like, yeah, I do respond to that. But what they did was, we had to do a survey before this away day, and we had to put a thank you to one person into this survey, which was really difficult, because I had loads of people that I wanted to say thank you to. And I tried to break the survey by doing it differently, which is another thing I do from time to time, is disrupt. But couldn't do it. So anyway, so I sent my kind of thing off, which was a bit of lip service, really. And then as part of the away day, they created this funny word cloud with all the people that had received a note of thanks. So what's the first thing you do? You look for your name, don't you? And I think, well, my name's not in there. And so that, like, just literally, well, I threw my toys out the pram, because actually it was quite demoralising. And then it felt like, again, and just the way this away day went, that only a handful of people across our directorate of 200 were being called out for doing a good job. So my feedback to that particular way it was done, it just didn't feel right, because we like being told, don't we? We're doing a good job. Well done, you're doing a good job. And I do personally, that motivates me, being told I'm doing okay, you're doing good. And then I've thought about a friend of mine that I used to work with. She was working for NHS England at the time, and she had to write this big strategy document, and it was called What Good Looks Like. And it was in the context of rolling out shared care records. So we know when you go into hospital and they can see your entire care record across the whole piece, we should be able to. She had to write this national piece of guidance about what good looked like in the context of rolling this big thing out. But it's interesting, isn't it, that just that use of the word good. And then I started thinking, well, God, what do you want me to base what good looks like in 2023 on? Is it the distant past? Was it what happened last year? Is it what's happening right now in the very present? Is it based on what others are up to? Or is it based on some measure of where I think I personally should be, whether that's in a work situation, in the context of church, and whatever aspect of life it might be? Is that place of goodness based on the lessons I may have learned from previous choices? Or is it based on feedback from others? And whilst I think in this year I want to have a good time, definitely, always in for that, I do want to do a good job, I want to do good things, I think there's something deeper that God's calling me to do in this, which I think I'm hoping will be interesting and will resonate with some of you. And that's that goodness that comes directly from God and how he perceives good and how he sees it. Because we tend to see it in human terms, like, yeah, I'm all good. But he sees it very differently. And I think that's the good that 1 Thessalonians refers to. It's the good that comes directly from the heart of God. And then when you read, don't you, in the very beginning, we see, I think, a bit of a sense of how God looks through the eyes of goodness when he looks down on creation and he sees what he has made and he calls it good. Genesis 1 and verse 30 says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." God looked over everything he made. It was so good, so very good. It was evening, it was morning, day 6. And I think that's how I want to measure what is good in my life. And we sing that song, don't we, about living in the goodness of God. And we will end with that. I will prepare you for that now. We are going to end with that. But I think that's really where I want to focus, is that living in the goodness of God. So I'm still on a bit of an early journey with this. And what I'm trying to do as I sort of go through January is do a bit of a stock take of my life to see what in that space is good, purposeful and life-giving according to what God says. Not according to what some festival of thanks says one day to the next, but what God says. And so far for me, that's about pursuing good, wholesome, quality friendships. It's about good habits and spiritual disciplines. I'm trying to think about a rule of life that really enriches my life, but it also includes that stuff where I'm really looking after myself. I'm going to be focusing on an investment in my own spirituality. And again, yesterday, that conference I went to, it was a bit strange in many respects, because yeah, usually we might get a crowd of people together and we might go to these things. But yesterday, what was quite good for me was that I only knew 3 people in the room. I knew the lady I went with, Becky, and then Anna Rich was there and Chrissy Hamer was there. So I only knew those people. And what was really, really nice about it was I could truly focus on me and God in that moment. I didn't need to, I was with Beck, but like we've been mates for 30 plus years. We know how each other works. But in that space, taking time out, investing in myself, it was really special because I didn't need to worry about what was going on around me, whether people were looking at me, you know, who's going forward for prayer, all of that kind of stuff. Sometimes we, as particularly as leaders do when we're at these things, we concentrate on other things other than ourselves. So that investment in our own walk with God, I think, is really, really important, and it's going to be really important to me in this year. Again, a few of us were talking about that over New Year. I've got a book coming. I was hoping I was going to be able to wave it around, but good old Royal Mail, it's somewhere in the ether of Royal Mail. And it's called The Intentional Year, and it's by a chap called Glenn Packiam. Now, Glenn Packiam, we heard him at the New Wine Leaders Conference last year, and he was fabulous. He had written a book called The Resilient Pastor, which was very timely because we weren't feeling particularly resilient at the time where we left. And it was really helpful, and he was fabulous. So he's going to be doing the Bible teaching this year at New Wine, so really looking forward to that. But he's written this book called The Intentional Year, and it really resonated with me in this kind of investment in myself. And he says, The Intentional Year, we invite you on a journey to live purposefully into the season ahead. You'll reflect on your past season, but you'll discern God's call on what's next by examining 5 key areas of life. and those areas being prayer, rest, renewal, relationships and work. And that's all about finding freedom and peace in these areas. And those areas in particular, I thought, yes, those are my blocks of things that I want to focus on in this year. And as I said, I think when I preached last time, self-care and investment in yourself is not selfish. Yeah, it helps. It will help you. You can look after people well when you're in a good place yourself. So what I'm going to do is there'll be some stuff that will go in the bin. And I will do that unashamedly and not feel guilty about doing that. So I think there is something for us in this next season about holding on to what is good. So we're only carrying the things that help us to really, truly serve his purpose. So what does that mean in practice? I've got a few points here, lots of scriptures. So if you're scribbling, note them down. You can get them back off the podcast afterwards. And I think with this thing about his goodness, and it came out in that song, The House of Miracles, is we have to have faith and believe that he is good and that he is who he says he is. We need to begin at that place where we really understand how good he is and how he has blessed those plans for our life, and not just for us, for all of humanity. God is everything that is truly good in the world, and conversely, the evil of the world is the total opposite to him. Psalm 145 and verse 9 said, "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works." It's like when he looks down on creation, he looks over everything and sees it as good. Even when we can't see or we're unsure of what the future holds, we need to believe that there is good in all that has happened and is happening and will happen, because the very nature of God is good. Psalm 27, this is one of my favourite verses actually, probably, in Scripture, 27 and verse 13. I'll read a few different versions of it. It says, "Yet I believe with all of my heart that I will see your goodness, Yahweh, in the land of life eternal." Another version says, "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I nearly went into a song there. There is a song with that in, isn't there, Ian? I think I won't go into too many songs. And then this one I thought was particularly lovely. It says, "I would have lost heart unless I believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." So unless you truly believe, you know, you will lose heart that God is working in and through the situations you find yourself in. And then Psalm 23 and verse 6 said, "So why would I fear the future? Only goodness and tender love pursue me all of the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be with you." Again, the ESV, again, a bit of a song, isn't there? There are a lot of songs in these ones. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And then when I think about the words of Jesus in Mark, in chapter 10 and verse 18, he says, "No one is good but one, and that is God." Are you able to believe that and declare that today, that no one is good but God? Really important to have faith. And then secondly, I think we need to acknowledge he is good in all things. And do you remember, I talked the last time we preached that we had this period of time in our lives where it was off plan. It didn't look like what we thought it was going to look like. And it was tough and it was hard. But we were able to find goodness in those moments. And again, it's really hard to do that and acknowledge that whilst you're going through stuff, that God is still good. But we also need to get to that place where we can acknowledge and declare that he is always good, even however we're feeling. And Psalm 86 and verse 5 says, "Lord, you are so good to me, so kind in every way and ready to forgive. For your grace fountain keeps overflowing, drenching all your devoted lovers who pray to you." That sounds like it might be from the Passion Translation, probably. It's that kind of language. And then Psalm 119 and verse 68 says, "Everything you do is beautiful, flowing from your goodness." Everything you do, even in that tough stuff, even when you're not feeling great, even when you're not well, even when things are tight financially, everything he's doing is beautiful. Psalm 31 and verse 19 says, "Oh, how abundant is your goodness which you have stored up for those who fear you and worked for those who take refuge in you in the sight of the children of mankind. And then lastly, importantly, and this really does refer to the time of trouble, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. And thirdly, we need to, I think, and this is, I suppose, the important one where you need a bit of investment, you need a bit of time, is we need to sort of cultivate that ongoing response to his goodness, and knowing that deep within, it just requires that ongoing response. We don't just do these things once. Sue was talking the other night about, we were talking about meditation, weren't we? And sometimes we could do that thing, we go, oh, I'm in a bit of a meditation season. I'm, you know, focusing on that. But actually some of these things, they're ongoing, and you have to work at them, and you have to journey with them, and you have to build them into your life. And I think it's the same with understanding the goodness of God. And there's, I think, four key areas where we can be consistent in our response to that. One, we can be thankful. Psalm 107 verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. We can say that every morning, can't we, when we get up? We can give thanks. You're good today, and your love endures forever. Psalm 100, verse 4 to 5 says, be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. And secondly, in this space, we do need to know him well, and that's about actively pursuing him and understanding his goodness and the good things working through you. He actively pursues you. It says that, doesn't it, in that Psalm 23? Your goodness and tender love, they're chasing, well, I think the song says, chasing after me, doesn't it, all of the days of my life. So he actively pursues us regularly and consistently, and we need to do the same. So again, getting those rhythms of life where you're able to know him well, so you can truly, deeply, in faith, say, he is good. It says, doesn't it, taste and see the Lord is good. We don't just taste food once and then be done. We enjoy meals, don't we, at regular intervals, hopefully through the day. We enjoy tasting. And again, you should all be doing that in terms of your walk with God. Again, and I talked about this just briefly as I was talking about what God was doing with me. It's about being teachable and investing in your kind of, some call it, I suppose, spiritual formation, if you're into that kind of John Mark Comer vibe of spirituality. I sort of am. I try to. It's hard. So you can stay in step with what's going on and what it says in his word, what's coming out in the prophetic. Psalm 119, 65 and 66 says, be good to your servant, God. Be as good as your word. Train me in good common sense. Oh, that would be good, wouldn't it, to have good common sense? I know a few people who could do with a good dose of that. I'm thoroughly committed to living your way. Before I learned to answer you, I wandered all over the place. But now I am in step with your word. You are good and a good source of good. Train me in your goodness. You only get that by investing and spending time. And again, this comes on to my last point in this one about waiting on him. And again, this is about that kind of, I suppose, that protected time in a secret place spent with him, and where you'll see his goodness flowing through whatever you're doing in that time with him. And again, so for me yesterday, that was a bit of a protected time in a secret place almost. And okay, there were 350 other women there, but it felt quite protected and it felt quite secret and it felt quite safe, and it was really, really special time. So we need to find those spaces, and they're not necessarily in silence on your own. They could be in all walks of life. And Lamentations 3 in verse 25 and 26 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. These are good things to do. They come from God and they come from his heart. Because for me, there is that sense that, and it's just probably a bit cheesy, isn't it? So when I think about, right, what does good look like? Good looks like God, if you wanted to put it in a little soundbite. And then kind of lastly in this space, it's really, really important, probably after you've done all of those things, or probably as part of that, that we are able to receive his goodness. Some people will find that hard for whatever reasons. They might not understand that God is good for them and is good to them because of the things they've been through and their circumstances. But we need to learn that He, because He loves us, He wants what's best for us. And that's demonstrated, His goodness is demonstrated through His actions towards us. And we see this, don't we, every day when the sun rises and the sun sets, we see His goodness. We need to thank God. Again, I said thankfulness is really important for every good gift we receive from Him. And ask Him for what we need. He's gracious to us. He gives good gifts to us. Healing, protection, peace, joy, strength, wisdom. And many other things can be found in that place. He has so many good things to give to us. We just need to receive them from Him. James 1:17, again, this is Passion Translation, says, every gift God freely gives to us is good and perfect, streaming down from the Father of lights, who shines from the heavens with no hidden shadow or darkness and is never subject to change. This one I really, really like, and it was a scripture that Amy or Ewing preached on at New Wine last year, and it's something that, again, it just keeps coming up in my readings. And it's Luke 12:29-32. It says, do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows what you need. Instead, seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we can be worrying about all of those things, but it is His good pleasure to give us His kingdom. So just sort of coming into land, that was a bit of a rattle through. There's a lot of scriptures there. Go back and listen. Again, really good scriptures just to meditate on or declare. Stick them around your house. At the very heart of the fruit of the Spirit is goodness. And we need to cultivate that in our lives and be fully at rest that God is good. Says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. I did the count. It was fifth, I think, fifth. It would have been nicer if it had been fourth, but hey, God knows what He's doing. I said it's really important that we need to actively pursue His goodness and good things all of the time. That's what I'm going to be doing in this year, is looking to see the good in all things through the eyes of God. So do we recognise that in our lives? Do we recognise those words of the song that surely your goodness and mercy are chasing after me? Do we see that? Do we feel that? I think if good is good enough for God, it's certainly good enough for us. So ignore the Ofsted ratings until Ofsted appear on your doorstep, where you might want to be a bit more considerate of them. But it's a word I think we need to get to grips with. I need to stop saying all good here, because I just give it a bit of lip service, and I need to reframe my thinking about how I'm using that word. I also think that living fully in God's goodness is sacrificial and it's costly. It requires a laying down of self, being able to see good before anything else, being able to see things, I think, probably through a more, it's not being over optimistic, but being more on that glass half full, I suppose, before anything. It's being able to see the goodness through the darkness and struggles. And we talked about that last week. I think I read that scripture about light in the darkness. That is all part of this. And for me, it's just really about in this year seeing things through that lens of the Holy Spirit, as we see, you know, we see it, don't we, in the example of Jesus and the Good Shepherd. In John 10, it says, he says, you know, Jesus, the words of Jesus, this is, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd puts the sheep before himself, sacrifices himself as necessary. And then he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. In the same way, the Father knows me, and I know my Father. I put the sheep before myself, sacrificing myself if necessary. I think there's that part that we think when things are good and all is well, that it's comfortable and easy and straightforward, that we don't have any worries or concerns. But I think we're grown up enough to know that a life lived in Jesus is anything but that. And it's an adventure, isn't it, with twists and turns and ups and downs. It's not necessarily that safe, comfortable space where we know everything is going to happen and it all feels comfortable. I've got this fabulous scripture from The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. And if you've read those books, you may well know this. And they're talking about Aslan. And it says, Aslan is a lion, the lion, the great lion. Oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's the king, I tell you. So I thought it'd just be really good to kind of seal some of this by singing that song and declaring that, and again, this will be a declaration for me that in 2023, I will be looking to live in the goodness of God. In this moment, you just might want to reach out to somebody for prayer. I'm happy to pray for people if there was anything in there that resonated with you. But I just pray for all of us that this year we look to God, we look for the good things, and we see and are able to evidence his goodness in everything we do.